Welcome to another edition of Engineering Influence, a podcast from the American Council of Engineering Companies. It's a pleasure to welcome Congressman Bruce Westerman to the show. Congressman Westerman hails from Hot Springs, Arkansas, and represents the state's 4th Congressional District in the House of Representatives. He currently serves on the Natural Resources Committee and as ranking member on the Water Resources and Environment Subcommittee of the Transportation and Infrastructure Committee in the House. Congressman Westerman graduated from the University of Arkansas with a Bachelor of Science degree in Biological and Agricultural Engineering. He is also a graduate of Yale University, earning a Master of Forestry Service degree, or I guess Master of Forestry degree.
Forestry.
Which makes him doubly unique in Congress. He's not only an engineer, but he's also a forester, of which there are not many serving in the House right now, pretty much just yourself, I believe.
Just one.
Thank you very much for the coming on to the program.
Jeff, it's great to be with you and a real honor to get to be on an ACEC podcast and talk about engineering and how that's benefited me with my service in Congress. I had nearly a 2.5-decade career in engineering before I came to Congress and really enjoyed that. I always tell people I like my job in Congress, but I could go back and be an engineer tomorrow and be perfectly content.
Actually, I was here when you spoke to members of our Senior Executive Institute class last month here in D.C. about your background in engineering and how you've applied that to your work in Congress. And I think you made the comment of pretty much saying that, you know, members come up to you because you're an engineer and expect you to have answers on just about anything related to engineering. How has your professional work in the field of engineering helped you in your roles, both in your committee work and then also in the general work that you do as a member? And I believe you were also on the science committee previously. How has that, you know, impacted your ability to be an effective member?
Well, being an engineer in Congress is, it's a small group of us that are up here. There's not many engineers, and like we already said, there's only one forester in the House. So if you've got a particular area of expertise, people really want to seek that out, especially your colleagues, because they generally feel like they can trust you if you're going to give them information. But also, being an engineer probably has some drawbacks because of things like our code of professional conduct. We're expected not to comment on things we don't have expertise in, whereas a member of Congress, you're expected to comment on everything. So I, after my freshman term, I got voted the quietest member of our freshman class, and I always told them that's because you've got two ears to listen and one mouth to speak with. So I try to be measured in what I say and try to be accurate in what I say. And, of course, Congress touches everything from foreign policy to health care, tax policy, and you really have to study and read a lot just to stay on top of the issues. But when those things come along that engineering directly impacts, it's great to have some history and background and the education and experience to be able to make pertinent comments on those issues and add to the conversation. But I get asked to speak to a lot of engineering students around the country, and I'll always tell them that the thing they probably don't realize now, but they will realize someday, is that engineering is really glorified problem solving. You're learning a lot of science, a lot of math. You're getting all the tools in the toolbox to go out and solve problems, but what you really learn going through an engineering curriculum and what you learn doing engineering on the job is how to analyze issues, define the problem, come up with a plan, implement that plan, and solve a problem. That's beneficial whether you're in Congress, whether you're working in a corporation, working your own business, or whatever you do. Those problem-solving abilities are very valuable to have, and I think that's the best thing that engineering gave me and prepared me for to come here and serve in Congress.
That's a really interesting point, because one of the things that we talk about at ACEC, and we're going to be doing a lot more with a new strategic plan that we just adopted, is the role of engineering in society, and engineers not just as math side, the science side, but also the problem solving the trusted advisor to clients of looking at a challenge and finding ways to innovative ways to solve those challenges and to apply their background and experience to those challenges. So that's a really interesting point. I do want to bring up the forestry side of things because I'm a Penn State grad. We had a forestry program at Penn State, not exactly Yale as far as in terms of school, but wanted to ask the question of how you got into and interested in forestry and where did that kind of stem from?
Yeah, it's kind of a unique combination, I guess, having an undergraduate in engineering and a graduate degree in forestry. But I grew up in Arkansas, in Hot Springs, Arkansas, where I still live today. Beautiful area, lots of national forest, a lot of private forest. And the career that I had for two decades was working for an ACEC member engineering firm, and we specialized in the forest products area. So when people ask me about my engineering career, I basically say that if there's some process that takes a tree and makes something out of it, then I got the opportunity to design one of those facilities during my career. So getting a forestry degree was very natural and beneficial in the business that I was in, because you always started with what's the resource, what resource is available, and what's the most valuable product we can make out of that resource, and what kind of equipment and machinery best fits the resource to convert that resource into a product that can be sold in the marketplace. And plus, I've always loved the outdoors. My Sunday school teacher was a World War II veteran. He flew in the Bloody 100th bombing squadron, and he was just a fantastic guy. But he was in the first forestry graduating class at the University of Arkansas at Monticello, where our forestry school is. And I think Mr. Culpepper inspired a love for forest and the outdoors, and I always wanted to go to graduate school. So it worked out very well from a career and a personal goal standpoint to go study about trees. And another example of how being here in Congress and being the only person in the House with a forestry education and background, I work a lot on forest policy. And you know, the federal government owns 193 million acres of timberland. That's just in the Forest Service. But you throw in the BLM and the Park Service, and you're between 250 and 300 million acres of public forest land. You know, today we're seeing the extreme forest fires in California, and there's a lot of work that could be done just on the forestry side, and I'm really excited about it because forests are the link between clean air and clean water, which gets into a lot of the things that we as engineers work on. And you know, forests are the natural carbon sequesters. They're the most good forestry is the most pragmatic approach we can have to a clean environment. And it's the best offensive tool that we've got. So I'm doing a lot of work in the forestry side of things here in Congress. And, you know, one thing that we're really looking at is this new concept of mass timber. Mm-hmm. And it's a new building system it's been done in Europe for quite some time, but we can now build buildings up to 18 stories tall. At my alma mater, the University of Arkansas, they just completed 2 5-story mass timber dormitories. They'd already built a mass timber library storage building. So it does a lot of things for you. Number one, it uses you can use locally sourced materials. These materials, wood is on a dry basis is 45% to 50% carbon, so it creates a huge carbon sink. It's a great insulating product, so you can build these buildings where they're sustainable and they don't use as much energy to operate and maintain. So a lot of positives with things like wood, but then there's a lot of more research that could be done. We could use wood as feedstocks for chemicals. It's a good feedstock for nanoparticles. I saw something the other day where they've come up with a nanomaterial made from wood cellulose that can be put into concrete that reduces the amount of Portland cement and actually increases the strength and durability of the concrete. So I think the sky's the limit on what we can do with wood, which is a good renewable resource. And again, it's the lungs of the earth and the kidneys of the earth that cleans the air and cleans the water.
And that's really an interesting point. And actually, we covered the mass timber issue in our most recent private industry brief that Aaron McLaughlin in our office puts together. And again, that was a change in December of 2019. The ICC loosened the restrictions to allow buildings up to 18 stories in height, effective in 2021, compared to the limit of 6 stories in commercial structures currently. So that's an interesting nexus between the forestry side and the engineering side.
Yeah, and you know, as a result of those projects there in Northwest Arkansas, on the University of Arkansas campus, a company just up the road, Walmart, announced they're building a new corporate headquarters. Now, you think about the largest company in the world building a corporate headquarters, 15,000 people they'll be housing, so it'll be like a small college campus. I think they told me 3.5 million square feet. But they're going to build the whole facility out of southern pine mass timber grown and manufactured in Arkansas. So that's a great story to tell, not only from the environmental stewardship side, but these local economies where timber is grown are in rural areas, and it's a good story about how we can help the economy in rural areas and do something good for the environment at the same time. And there's a lot of other... I've been told that Microsoft, Adidas, I think Google, there's a lot of major corporations that are looking to use more of this mass timber in their buildings.
Yeah, buildings like that would fit in perfectly with Seattle and a lot of the Pacific Northwest especially. I do want to stay with the whole idea of economic development, but shifting over to infrastructure. You serve as the ranking member on the water subcommittee, and of course, WERDA is probably the big bill that the subcommittee is going to be working on for the Congress. That's a critical bill for our ports, harbors, inland waterways, locks, dams, just all of that, not just the seaside ports like Charleston or Savannah, but also interior, moving goods around the country. Now, with a lot of the members who listen in to the podcast, they're getting a lot of their news from CNN, they're getting it from Fox, and they're not hearing everything that's going on, at the granular level. Where does the WERDA bill stand right now, and where do you see, what do you see as the prospects of getting that through?
So we've got a good track record going on WERDA, and we certainly don't want to disrupt that. I believe the past 6 years or maybe 8 years, we've got a WERDA bill through Congress. I know the whole time that I've been here, we've got WERDA bills passed on a 2-year cycle, and there seems to be bipartisan support to get a WERDA bill out next year. And I will say, serving on TNI and actually being the ranking member on Water and Environment Subcommittee, I was very fortunate in this Congress, which seems to be highly partisan with, you know, the impeachment issues and everything else going on. We've got a pretty good track record so far on the Water and Environment Subcommittee. We just got a bill passed off the floor to use the Harbor Maintenance Trust Fund to actually develop and improve harbors, as it was set in place to do. $9 to $10 billion in that fund, but it wasn't getting used to maintain harbors, and it was strictly put in place for that purpose. So I'm glad to see we pass it off the House floor in a bipartisan manner. I hope the Senate will take it up and get that signed into law. We also, just out of committee this week, we passed the loan fund for wastewater systems, and I think that's a great opportunity to go in and have the funding mechanism so that cities can borrow the money to repair these wastewater systems, which I believe it was American Society of Civil Engineers gave our wastewater infrastructure a D-plus grade. And I know as I travel around in my district, there's a lot of work that needs to be done on both wastewater and potable water systems. So we're getting bills passed out of committee, off the floor, those, you know, it doesn't usually make Fox or CNN when you pass a water bill out of the House, but it makes a lot of difference across the country, and I feel very fortunate to be working on that. I'm really looking forward to working with the subcommittee chairman, Grace Napolitano from California, Peter DeFazio, the Democratic chairman, and then Sam Graves, who's a ranking member. We've got a commitment to get this water bill done, and as you mentioned, it's very important to many parts of the country. You know, our navigable waterways took a beating in the flooding this past spring and summer. In my district and in many other places in the country, we've got a lot of work to do on that. There's a lot of work that needs to be done on, again, on ports and harbors, deepening channels and that sort of thing. So there's no end of opportunities and good things that we can spend money on that are good for the country. And I think part of the reason we have a federal government, you know, provide for the common defense and take care of interstate transportation systems, and that's what TNI does. So those are the things we should be prioritizing and putting our funds towards, because it helps grow the economy and helps, you know, the country grow, which helps us be able to provide nice things and people to have jobs and find, make their own way through life. So excited about what we're doing on the water subcommittee.
And then I guess just to kind of wrap it up, I mean, with everything going on in Washington, you know, it's so dominated the headlines by intrigue and pretty much inside the Beltway kind of, you know, partisan squabbles, because it, you know, gets ratings. But, you know, for your constituents and for members in the engineering profession out there who are listening and saying, okay, what's Congress doing? I mean, what message would you, you know, leave them with as far as what Washington is doing and how things are looking at the end of the year and may shape up for 2020?
Well, right now I wouldn't give Congress a very good grade on what we're doing. I mean, we're operating under a continuing resolution, which has been a huge pet peeve of mine since I've got here. If there's one thing I would, if I could change it, and I work hard to try to change it, that's to get us back to what I call regular order, where we do appropriation bills. We debate those bills in the open. We offer amendments on the floor, pass all 12 of them out of the House. And if the Senate would take those up and go through the same process, we know we're our fiscal year ends on September 30th every year. And we need a new budget by then. We know the timeline. We know what needs to be done. We're just not getting it done. And that causes all kinds of problems. When you look at, we don't even have a defense authorization bill done this year. And that's one of the primary reasons to have a federal government, is provide for the common defense. If we can't get that done, if we can't get a budget done, we really should be ashamed of the job that we're doing here. Now, we can talk about some positive things on TNI. There's some small things that we agree on and are getting done. But in the big picture, the politics are getting way too much in the way. And with the 2020 presidential election coming up, with all the talk about impeachment, it's really taken the focus off of the job of Congress. We've still got a huge, huge issue with health care in this country. We've got huge issues with immigration we need to be addressing. But there are a lot of us that are working on those policies, and we've got bills drafted, and we're ready to go. But you just can't get it in committee. You can't get time on the floor. The USMCA, a trade agreement that would be great for our country. It's got bipartisan support. You know, Mexico is now our largest trading partner. So you have your first and second largest trading partners with a new agreement that would benefit farmers, benefit the whole country. And we can't get it on the floor for a vote. It could have passed 2 months ago with bipartisan support. So it's frustrating. But again, engineers are problem solvers, and I keep looking at it. You know, how can I make a difference? How can we change this? And a lot of times it's a slow change. And a lot of times it takes changes in leadership. It takes changes in which party's in control. But I see light at the end of the tunnel. And, you know, and on the positive side of things, the economy's doing quite well. we could be doing better, and we see pathways to make that happen, and I want to continue working on that and using hopefully what I learned studying engineering and doing engineering for a couple of decades and applying that here in the United States House of Representatives.
Well, Congressman, thank you very much. There's still a lot of work to do, but like you said, engineers are problem solvers, and you're going to be here to help solve those problems. So I really appreciate your time this morning and coming on the show, and hope to have you on in the future. I guess today you have some votes, and then you're out, right? This is the end of the week legislatively.
Yeah, this is fly-out day. It's I love my job, but the happiest day of the week is when I'm heading back to Arkansas, back to the real world, and the people I grew up with, the people I love, and the people I get to represent here in this this great job in the U.S. House. So we do have a vote today, actually a vote on the impeachment inquiry. So I wish we were voting on a word of bill or something like that, but it is what it is. And, I look forward to continuing to work. A lot of the things that people don't see that are here in D.C. is that when most members of Congress are back in our districts, we're working as much there as we are up here in D.C. It's a different kind of work, and I've got a large rural district, so I spend a lot of time on the road, but always enjoy getting back.
Well, Congressman Bruce Westerman, thank you very much for being on the show. Again, this has been an episode of Engineering Influence from the American Council of Engineering Companies. Mm-hmm.